This morning to the Old Testament book of First Chronicles. First Chronicles, and find the 12th chapter. The message that I'm going to bring you today is going to take me a little while to develop, but it's the kind of a message that I think we need to do in one sitting. And so I ask you to bear with me. It's been quite some time ago. I don't remember whether a year ago, 2 years ago, it's been quite a while that the Lord brought to remembrance the subject that we're going to be dealing with this morning. And at that time, I began to develop it into something that I might bring you in the form of a message. But it was one of those that found its way not to the pulpit, but rather to the drawer. And here recently, it's just come back into my mind again, and I think today is an appropriate time for us to deal with this subject. And so let me ask you to pray with me as we go to the Word of God. Father, we do not want to hear today the wisdom of man. We want to hear, as always, from your pulpit, we want to hear the wisdom of God. And we know that the wisdom of God is contained in and is your word. And so I pray today, Father, that you will bring forth from your word wisdom that helps us to live, helps us to be all that we can be, and helps us to be the best and highest we can be, helps us to truly be the image of Jesus in the earth. Your word tells us that the only witness that you have in the earth is your people, the body of Christ. And your word expresses the fact that the church, the collective body of the Lord, all of its members, is the way that Jesus expresses himself in the world. We want to be individually and collectively as faithful an expression as it's possible to be. And we know that can only happen by your Spirit. We know that the things that are in us that hinder that expression cannot be changed by the flesh. We didn't get started in the flesh, and we're certainly not going to make it any better by the flesh. We didn't begin in the flesh, and we are not going to be made complete by the flesh. We were born of the Spirit, and we will have to be developed and grown up and matured by the Spirit. We understand that we are totally and completely dependent upon you to work in our lives your will and your pleasure by the Spirit that dwells and lives within us. But we believe and understand that one of the tools and one of the means that you use to effect those changes is the Word of God. And this is why we embrace it. This is why we seek after the Word. This is why we hunger and thirst for it. And this is why we receive it with meekness and humility and grace. And so speak to us today, Father, from your Word. Let us see and let us grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Love that amen corner. Today we hear a great deal in our culture about personality types. It seems important to most people to know what it is that makes us dissimilar from each other and why we can perceive the very same things in so completely a different manner. Why is it that we feel so unlike each other and react so differently to the same information or the same external stimuli? The psychiatric and the psychological communities are constantly developing new categories and new labels for personality types and people types in order to help us understand ourselves and understand others, including our children. There's a never-ending series of insights and so-called scientific studies which purport to reveal some new and very essential discovery in this area. We get a continual stream of so-called new information that reportedly sheds light on why we act like we do, why we think like we do, and why we do what we do. And then why we are so different from each other. The educated shrinks, that's what I call them, the educated shrinks tell us that there are right-brained people and that there are left-brained people. Frankly, just between us in this room, I would like to see some more people with any kind of brain, whether it were right-handed or left. They tell us that there are those who have type A personalities or type B personalities or type C personalities or type D personalities, and they have many even within the Church of Jesus Christ all wrapped up in this search for what kind of person am I. The books that discuss these issues are being written by the multitude. Christian bookstores are full of them, not just secular. The TV programs and the talk shows on TV and radio abound with all of this information on that subject. The study of personality disorders has become a multi-billion dollar business. Do you know that there are as many psychiatrists and psychologists in this country as there are pastors and preachers of the gospel? Drugs to control aberrant personality expressions are among the largest and the most profitable businesses in the world. If I'm not mistaken, the largest selling, most prescribed drug on the market is one called Prozac. It's a mind-altering drug and therefore a personality-altering drug. It's been prescribed for over 17 million Americans alone. You probably know someone right now who is taking Prozac. But it's not surprising, I guess, that the silliness and the hopelessness of this effort is simply like someone who is attempting to reinvent the wheel. Because they are trying to discover and then to convey to others something that God already clearly revealed over 3,000 years ago. In Isaiah, the 55th chapter, the 8th and 9th verse, God says through his prophet, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, Paul wrote, in verses 19 through 25, he said, "It is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. God's people should be among those who truly understand these things, for which the unbelieving world is on an endless and absolutely mindless search. In 1 Chronicles, the 12th chapter, the verse that I want to direct you to today is the 32nd, and I believe that this comment about the sons of Issachar ought to be made about all of the people of God in this age. Verse 32 says, "And of the children of Issachar," which is one of the tribes of Israel, Issachar was one of Jacob's sons, "which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do." The New Century Version says, "They knew." There were 200 leaders in Issachar, and they knew what Israel should do, and they knew the right time to do it. The Living Bible says that these were men who understood the temper of the times and knew the best course for Israel to take. I believe God's people ought to be in that position today. And it is to this end that I want to address you this morning. And I intend to address you from the unchanging revelation of the Word of God. In any group of people, whether it be in a community, in a nation, whether it be in a church, whether it be in a workplace, whether it be in a school, whether it be even in a large family, in any group of people, if it is large enough, to have a representative sampling of the different kinds of persons and different kinds of types of people. That is, more than just a few in the group. You will always find at least three distinct types. Not surprisingly, these three types are clearly described in the Word of God, primarily in the Proverbs, but elsewhere as well. I think you would anticipate that the types that God describes in His Word are not type A, type B, type C, and type C, type D. They are neither right-brained nor left-brained. But the labels that God places on the various types of people are these: the wise, the simple, and the fool. Thankfully, the Word of God contains enough detail so it is not difficult for anyone to evaluate his own so-called personality type or the type of others. I think this is very helpful for parents to know what kinds of children we are raising. It's also important, I think, for us to know how another person may be acting, if it's only for a time. Remember that it's important for us not to make snap judgments in this area. An otherwise wise person can sometimes act like a real jerk. And sometimes even a fool can appear wise. In fact, the proverb says that a fool that keeps his mouth shut can appear wise. And so I like what Jesus said on this subject when he said in Luke 7:35, "Wisdom is justified of all of her children." And so you do not want to take one specific act or one specific situation in your own personal life or the life of another and be very quick to snap a label on somebody. But I think it will be profitable for us today to examine these personality types according to the Word of God, and let us never be bogged down in right-brained, left-brained, type A, type B, type C. Let us look at this subject through the eyes of God. The first type that God labels is the wise, W-I-S-E, the wise. Now, I'm going to share a good bit of Scripture this morning, and we will not have time to open the Bible and check every one of these verses because we'd be here all afternoon. But what I will do is, if you can write fast enough, I'll give you the reference, and then I'll read it, and then you can write it down. But what I've done is I've gone with my computer and printed these all out so that we could get it done in a reasonable period of time this morning. In fact, a lot of the verses that impact the subject today are not even in my notes, and if you have either a Strong's Concordance or a computer, it would be an interesting activity for you this afternoon or sometime this week to just go into your concordance, whether it's computerized or not, and just pull up that word and print out all of those verses and then just read them. Just read them sequentially. It will be illuminating. The wise. What distinguishes the person who would be among the wise? First of all, he seeks after and receives instruction and correction. He seeks after and receives instruction and correction. Proverbs 1:5 says, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." Proverbs 18:15. In fact, all of these are Proverbs except a few. So if I don't give you the book, you know it's Proverbs. 18:15 says, "The ear of the wise seeketh knowledge." 9:9 says, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." 10:8 says, "The wise in heart will receive commandments." 21:11 says, "When the wise is instructed, he receives knowledge." 12:15 says, "He that hearkeneth," or receives counsel, "is wise." The second thing about a wise person is he avoids evil. Proverbs 14:16 says, "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil." 28:7 says, "Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son." Thirdly, a wise person companies with other wise people. It is said that if someone looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, walks like a duck, and is constantly seen in the company of other ducks, you can be reasonably sure that he's a duck. And this is true with different kinds of people. The wise will company with other wise. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise." Next, a wise person has control of his tongue. 10:19 says, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." 14:3 says, "The lips of the wise shall preserve them." 15:7 says, "The lips of the wise disperse knowledge." Next, a wise person is a builder. He or she builds and does not tear down. 14:1 says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." 24:5 says, "A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength." Next, a wise person will generally find favor with those God has placed in his life in position of authority. Proverbs 14:35 says, "The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame." That brings us to the next personality type, if I can use that terminology, the next type of person, and that is the fool. Now, the fool is completely on the other end of the spectrum from the wise. I think as you hear me read these scriptures about the wise, you would say, "Oh boy, that's me. And if it's not me, I want it to be me." When you hear me share about the fool, you will say, "That ain't me. And I sure don't want it to ever be me." Completely on the other end of the spectrum. First, the fool despises wisdom, despises instruction, and especially he despises correction. 1:7 says, "Fools despise wisdom and instruction." 1:22 says, "How long will you fools hate knowledge?" 18:2 says, "A fool hath no delight in understanding." And 17:16 says, "Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it?" In other words, why does a fool have the price in his hand for gaining wisdom, seeing he doesn't want it in the first place? Secondly, the fool is motivated by wrong forces. He's motivated by anger, by strife, and by pride. 14:17 says, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly." 14:16 says, "The fool rageth and is confident," in other words, bold in his anger. 20:3 says, "It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling." And so wherever strife is, you find the fool. 14:3 says, "In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride." And 18:6 says, "A fool's lips enter into contention." Another place in the Proverbs it says, "Only by pride cometh contention." So all of these things are bedfellows and find their expression in the person of the fool. Thirdly, the fool cannot control his tongue. Proverbs 29:11 says something very illuminating about a fool. "A fool uttereth all his mind." You've known people like this. If it comes in the mind, it comes out the mouth. They just have no kind of a check valve there, Jerry, between the mind and the mouth. If it gets the mind, it's coming out the mouth. And that is one of the expressions of a fool. He can't control his tongue. 18:7 says, "A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul." 15:2 says, "The mouth of fools poureth out foolishness." 15:14 says, "The mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness." 10:18 says, "He that hideth hatred with lying lips and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. 10:14 says, the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Then the fool is described in the Word of God as a person who is deceived, and because he's deceived, he believes what he believes very boldly, and is thus very believable. 14:8 says, the folly of fools is deceit. The root of his foolishness is deception, deceit. 12:15, I keep saying his, because I just don't want to slow down to say his or hers, okay? You can have, these personality types are not respective of sex, age, or anything else, color, anything else. 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. And 28:26 says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Now, on any one of these scriptures, we could talk and or we could stop and talk about, you know, a little bit, so on, and really bring these points home. But in order to get this all done today, we just don't have the time to do that. So I'm really dependent, if you're interested in really pursuing this for yourself and allowing the Spirit of God to really give you illumination here, you'll have to do some of this on your own. Next, a fool is a person who makes lots of noise. Proverbs 9:13 says, a foolish woman is clamorous. 10:23 says, it is as sport to a fool to do mischief. What that means is, it's like a game to him to be engaged in his mischief. Has no sense of what is appropriate. It's like sport. Make trouble. 10:23. 13:19 says, it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. Think about that. It's an abominable thing for a fool to depart from his evil. The next thing about a fool that the Proverbs tells us is that a fool brings a heaviness to everyone around him. Instead of lifting people's spirits, he oppresses people's spirits. 10:1 says, a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. 27:3 says, a stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. And so when you find somebody coming into your life that just takes away your joy and takes away your lift of spirit and just kind of brings a heaviness into your life, that's a fool. A fool, as opposed to a wise man who builds up, a fool tears down. 14:1 says, every wise woman buildeth her house. Remember, we saw that scripture in the wise. On the other hand, the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. I think we could, based on what we've seen, the foolish fool also plucks it down with his or her mouth. And then the Bible tells us what the payoff is for the fool. What is the final outcome for a person who lives his life in this way? 13:16 says, a fool layeth open his folly. In other words, I think we would say this, that eventually a fool is known, is revealed. 14:33 says, that which is in the midst of fools is made known. 3:35 says, shame shall be the promotion of fools, not honor, but shame. 10:8 says, a prating or an empty-worded fool shall fall. 10:21 says, fools die for want of wisdom. Wisdom would save them, but they won't take it. And so they seal their own doom. 13:20 says, and this is very important, I think significant to us, 13:20 says, a companion of fools should be destroyed. Now we saw that a companion of a wise man will become what? Wise. But a companion of fools will be destroyed. My father understood, I don't know if he understood all this that I'm sharing with you today, but he understood how important it was for him to watch the friends that I associated with as a child. He used to say to me, "That boy's a bad actor." That was his term, bad actor. And he knew that if I associated with that boy and others of his ilk, he knew I'd become just like him. And it's true, when I was with him, I was just like him. When I was with him, we crawled underneath the porch and smoked cigarettes at 9 years old. And many other things that I won't even tell you about. But when I was with the wise, I emulated them. That's the way it is. Companion of fools shall be destroyed. Thank God for fathers and mothers who understand and care. Thank God for pastors and Christian workers who understand and care. Now that brings us to the third personality type, and that is the simple. Now the simple is a very interesting kind of person. I think based on what I've shown you that we would admire the wise, we would look askance at the fool. The simple is right in between. And here is how the Word of God describes the simple. Proverbs 14:15 says this about the simple. The simple believeth every word. I want to repeat that. The simple believeth every word. Now, what does that tell you about the simple? He believes anything and everything, and he blows the way the wind blows. The simple is the person who is, he's like the dandelion seed that you see blowing across your yard. Whichever direction the wind is blowing, that's where he's going. If the wind changes direction, he can just as easily change and go the other way because he believes anything and everything. He has no anchor for himself, and he is completely and totally influenced by those that are around him. Proverbs 7:7 says, "And behold, among the simple ones, a young man void of understanding." Now, this is where most of our children are at a young age. They're in this category. And what we do with them will determine how they are going to grow. The sage said, "As the twig is bent, so grows the tree." The proverb says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it." Same idea. We find, however, in many adults, this same type of personality. They're simple, and they can go either direction equally. They are like ambipersonalityed, like ambidextrous. They can be led in either direction, and they are by nature gullible, easily seduced, and easily deceived. Proverbs 14:18 says, "The simple inherit folly." Romans 16:18, notice now Romans, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly," talking about people in the New Testament church that were destructive. "And by good words," watch this now, "by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple." This is not just something from Solomon's time. This is something from Paul's time, and beloved, it's something from our time as well. "By good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple." On the other hand, Proverbs 21:11 says, "The simple is made wise." In other words, you can make a wise person out of a simple one. And so here's the problem with a person who's simple. He can go either direction. And he can either become a fool or he can become wise, depending on who he is around. Because the simple are like that, they are very easily destroyed. Simple people are very easily hurt, permanently, and destroyed. Proverbs 22:3 says, "A prudent man, a wise man, foreseeth the evil and hideth himself." He protects himself. "But the simple pass on and are punished." The word punished here means they're harmed, they're destroyed. Proverbs 1:30-32 says, "They would none of my counsel," they would not listen. They despised all my reproof. This is God speaking here. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. Now, what this means is, God said, I gave my reproof. But the simple turned away from it and said, I don't want it. And that turning away will cause them to be destroyed. And so the simple are in a very dangerous place. The simple is on a precipice and is very easily falls into a bad situation. Now let's summarize. What have we seen? We have the wise on one end of the spectrum, we have the fool on the opposite, and we have the simple in between, and the simple wavers between the wise and the fool depending on who he is with, what he hears, and the choices he makes in how he responds to who and what he hears. Now, there's one more thing that we need to add to the mix to make our study complete, and that is this. If the group that we're talking about, I said that if the group were large enough to have a representation of all of the different personality types according to the Word of God in them, there would be wise and simple and there would be fools. If the group is very, very unfortunate, there will also be a fourth type of person in that group. And that person is called in the Bible the scorner. Now, the scorner is a fool who is uncorrectable. We said the wise is on this spectrum, this end of the spectrum, the fool is on the other. The scorner is beyond the fool. He is a fool who is so confirmed in his pride and his anger, he is unable to see anything besides his own scorning. Proverbs 21 and 24 says this, proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. 1:22 says, how long will the scorners delight in their scorning? 24:9 says, the scorner is an abomination to men. Because of that, and because he's so dangerous, he is to be avoided. Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And so there are very strong warnings against this kind of behavior and accompanying with this kind of people. In fact, the third chapter of Proverbs, the 34th verse, says, surely he that is God scorneth the scorners. He gives grace to the lowly, but he scorns the scorners. Why? Because they are reprobate in their scorning. With a scorner, you cannot reason with a person of this type. 9:8 says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. So to provide reproof or correction to a scorner only increases his anger. And if you reprove him, he hates you. This is one of the things that you can see here. I want to say this because I'm not sure that I'll remember it when I get to it later. This is one of the ways that you find out what kind of a child you have. This is one of the ways you find out what kind of a person you're dealing with. When we're squeezed, that's when what's inside us comes forth. The Bible says a wise person will love reproof. You reproof a wise person, he'll love you for it. You reproof a scorner, he'll hate you. So you don't have to put labels on people. All you have to do is be observant, and people label themselves. 15:12 says, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. 13:1 says, a scorner heareth not rebuke, won't listen. 9:7 says, he that thinks he can help, getteth to himself shame, does no good. Now, here is the key point, I think, of what we're dealing with here today, and that is what I alluded to a moment ago. in determining the scriptural personality type. It's how a person handles or responds to instruction, to correction, and to rebuke, especially from one in a superior position. Whether it's a child or a subordinate, whether it's a spouse or whether it's a citizen of a country. When Gene Lassiter over here arrests somebody and throws him in jail, how does he respond to Gene Lassiter? Does he fight him? Does he struggle against him? Does he call him a blankety-blank pig? Or does he fall upon the rock and say, I've been wrong? I would imagine Gene doesn't find very many like that. Who would say, give me the cuffs and let me put them on. That's why our jails aren't filled with very many wise people. It's how, you see, this is why it is very important with your children. How a person responds to correction reveals what's in their heart. It doesn't change what's in there. It simply reveals what's in there. The wise desires instruction, seeks it out. He wants to be corrected. And the person who cares enough to correct him will find that the wise person loves him more deeply. On the other hand, the fool and the scorner despise instruction, despise correction, and they will hate the source of it in varying degrees. The simple, he can go either way, depending on whom he's spending time with and who he's listening to. Now, with all of this in mind, how you handle or deal with, or respond to these various kinds of people becomes a critical question. Always, of course, we should respond in love, as Jesus would, and as He did. It's very popular now to buy bracelets and necklaces and license plates and everything, WWJD, what would Jesus do? I think that's appropriate for this. Then specifically, what would love do? Again, we turn to His Word. Because if God is love and God is His Word, then His Word is the expression of love. And oftentimes we have this idea of love, the only way that you can express love is kissy, kissy. Well, I'm so glad that my dad did not express his love to me, always kissy, kissy. I am so pleased and so thankful that he expressed his love to me on the end of a board. And I'm grateful to God that while He knows when to take me up in His arms, when I'm hurting, He also knows when to lay the board to the fat part of my backside. I, for one, am grateful for that. And I pray that you will be as well, because if you are, then that places you in the appropriate place today, what we're talking about today. So let's go to the Word again. Let's talk about the wise. How would you deal with a wise person? If you found somebody who was wise, how would you handle your relationship with that person? Well, I'll tell you how I would handle it. I would find him, I'd draw close to him, and I'd emulate him. Because 3:35 says, the wise shall inherit glory. I wouldn't mind that. How about you? 12:18 says, the tongue of the wise is health. When a wise person talks to you, it provides, the word health here is a word curative, like a medicine. It provides a deliverance, a remedy, a soundness, a wholesomeness. There's something wholesome about the words of a wise man or woman. 13:20 has the promise, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. So how would you treat a wise man? You get close to him and stay there. 15:24 says, the way of life is above to the wise, so that he may depart from hell beneath. Now, that's the kind of person whose company I want to be. I don't know about you. On the other hand, the fool. How would you handle the fool? Well, first of all, you need to recognize that counsel doesn't work. 16:22 says, the instruction of fools is folly. It's foolishness to try to instruct a person who's in that situation. 17:10 says, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. In other words, a word of correction to a wise man will enter deeper into his person than 100 licks with a whip on a fool. 23:9 says, "Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words." The problem of a fool calls for punishment. But frankly, the Word of God doesn't give much hope because it doesn't do any good. 18:6 says, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. What does that mean? A fool's mouth is crying out for a whipping. Basically, that's what that word says. 19:29 says, stripes are prepared for the back of fools. 26:3 says, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Next, with a fool, it would be not smart to give him any honor or position. 26:1 says, as snow is in the summer, do we see snow in the summer? It just doesn't fit. And as rain in the harvest, you don't get rain when you're harvesting, it is like a cold day in hell or snow in July is the idiom here. In the same way, honor is not seemly for a fool. And so you don't promote a fool to a place of honor or a place of position. Next, a fool will never permit rest. 29:9 says, if a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rages or whether he laughs, there's still no rest. There will be a continual upheaval. And lastly, the Word of God says that when you have a fool, if it be possible, separate yourself. 14:7 says, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Now, how do you handle the simple? We know how to handle the wise now, don't we? We know how to handle the fool. How do we deal with the simple? How do we respond to a person who is like that? The first thing you do is teach them the Word of God. Psalm 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, and what does it do? It makes wise the simple. Psalm 119:130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. We all know this verse. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The most important thing you can do for a simple person is to teach them the Word of God. In Proverbs, the first chapter, 1-4, listen to this. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple. Another word for wisdom here. To give subtlety to the simple. The Proverbs are powerful in this area. If I considered myself in that condition, one of the first books I would read would be the Proverbs. And as parents, moms and dads, if you're not reading the Proverbs with your children on a regular basis, you are leaving on the table a great tool for developing the wisdom of your children. Some of the wisest people I know are people who are skilled in this particular book. We know it as the wisdom book, so why wouldn't we ingest it? Then the last thing that you can do for the simple, and this is very illuminating. This is not pleasant, but it's illuminating. One of the very effective ways of handling the simple is to deal appropriately and scripturally with the fool and the scorner. If you do not deal with the fool and you do not deal with the scorner, then you consign the simple to their influence. In the same way that my father denied me the right to have company with that boy, I remember his name, Eddie Fisher. He's not the singer. This is a boy that used to, he's a bad actor, bad actor. My father denied me the right. When I wanted to be with him, I had to hide. I had to sneak out in order to be with him. And so he dealt with his boy in such a way, let it be known, that he wasn't welcome at our place. trying to preserve me. And so this is one of the ways that you deal with the simple, is you take care of the fool and especially the scorner. Well, what do you do? Proverbs 19:29 says, judgments are prepared for scorners. With a scorner, you bring judgment. Listen, you guys that are running an office, you've got 10 people in your sales force, or you've got 20 installers, or you've got 18 warehouse people, and you've got a couple in there that are always stirring things. What are you going to do? Well, I'm just going to love them. So you instruct them and you teach them, and they don't respond to that. So then you correct them. And then they rear up at you. The next thing you know, they're tearing everything apart. You're in the office trying to get sales, and they're out in the back tearing up your shipping department so that your customers get screwed up shipments. What do? Well, I just love them because I'm a Christian. I just love them. We're just going to change them, you know, with our love. That's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says judgments are prepared for scorners. Punishment, 21:11. When the scorner, what's this now? When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. When the scorner gets his due, the simple says, whoa, whoa, I tied my ship to the wrong star. And he gets wise. Proverbs 19:25 says, smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. And then lastly, the way you deal with a scorner in order to preserve the simple, Proverbs 22:10 says, cast out the scorner, and the contention shall go out. Why? Because he's the source of it. She's the source of it. Now, if you're married to one of these, you can't do that. See, if you put the ring on the finger, you're it. If you're raising one of them, you can do that. Cast out the scorner, and the contention will go out. Why does the contention go out? Because he's the source of it. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Now, we're all sitting here listening to this today. How should you respond? Pastor Vic, what does this mean to me personally? And how do I respond to what you have shared here from the Word of God? Well, if you're among the wise, you will be greatly edified this morning. You will be encouraged to continue in the path that you've chosen. You'll feel very good. You will be confirmed in your decision to not company with fools, but surround yourself with others who operate in wisdom. You will be even more tender and even more soft-hearted, desiring to be instructed and desiring to be corrected whenever you miss the mark, as we all do. I love what David said in the Psalms. He says, chasten me, O God. Search me, O Lord, and try my heart, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in thy way everlasting. See, he's expressing his wisdom. God, I want your chastening. I want you to work in my life, and I want you to destroy those things that are negative to me and to you. On the other hand, if you are among the fools, you will no doubt be feeling some anger today. And you will probably judge me to be grinding my axe on you and to be on your case. You will find fault with most, if not all, that I've taught you this morning, even though 95% of my words have been the Word of God. You will indict the messenger, and thereby you'll be justified in your own mind that the rejection of this message of truth is okay. In your heart, you will be mocking and spurning any wisdom that comes from this teaching. And it's not likely that it will have any beneficial effect on you. The same sun that melts butter hardens clay. The sun does not change the composition of what it is delivering its heat to. It simply reveals what's there. Butter is soft, it melts. Clay is hard, it hardens. That's what the Word of God does. If you are among the simple, you're the ones that stand to gain the most. You can profit the greatest to see yourself in the mirror of the Word of God. In the first chapter of the book of James, he says, the 23rd through the 25th verse, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, then he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, in a mirror. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, this is the perfect law of liberty, looking into the mirror of God's word, that's what this means. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth thereof, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Jesus said it this way. He said, either when God's dealing in your life, we either fall on the rock of his word and allow him to break us, or eventually the rock will fall on us and grind us. I mean, the imagery here, grind us to powder. The imagery is powerful. Hopefully, if you're among the simple, you will decide to be careful to whom you give ear and to whom you open up your spirit. Remember, the simple believeth every word. You will be more discriminating about who you take into your confidence and whose opinions you receive as fact and as truth. If you are among the scorners, you are so confirmed in your scorning as to be beyond recovery outside of a sovereign move of God. You are increasingly embittered as your flesh utterly rejects anything that does not agree or play to your twisted views. There is no further hope for you other than deep-hearted repentance and a sovereign move of God. And so, let me summarize by saying, as with all things in this life, we each have a choice to make, and that's the really good news from what I'm sharing today. We are creatures of choice and not creatures of chance. We are endowed by God when he created us as free moral agents. That means we are capable of choice and we have a right to choose. So which personality type are you? If it's one of the undesirable ones, how long will you stay that way? And let me close with Proverbs 1:22. How long, ye simple, this is God speaking, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And how long will scorners delight in their scorning? And how long will fools hate knowledge? Now notice the one type that is missing from that verse is the wise. And what God is crying out to, I believe he's crying out to all of us today. And I believe this is his message today, that he wants all of his people to be wise. In fact, Paul wrote in one of his letters, be simple concerning evil, but that's all. He wants all of his people to be among the wise. We should. We have the mind of Christ, for goodness sakes. We have his spirit dwelling within us. There's no excuse for foolish or scorning behavior, and there's no excuse for a person who's been a Christian any period of time to still be simple. He has provided all of the means which we need. And so he cries, I hear his heart. He says, how long will you simple ones love your simplicity? How long will you scorners continue to scorn? And how long will you fools continue to hate knowledge? Stay in your foolishness. I don't know where we all are today. I don't know where we all are individually. I'm not here today to put labels on anybody. I'm simply here today to declare the Word of God. Having the Word, we ought to be able to see clearly. The entrance of thy Word does what? Giveth light. Let's everybody stand, please. Let me ask you to bow your heads, please, with me. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you today that for every time in our life, there is a clear and illuminating message from your word. In every situation that we are going to encounter, you always have a way of preparing us. We thank you today, Lord, that your word is a light for us, a lamp to illuminate our way. And I pray, Father, that for each and every one of us who are participating in this message today, hearing it, I would say with the Lord Jesus, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. And I pray each of us, Father, will be found among the wise, that we should be among those who, like the sons and the leadership of Issachar, knew the times in which they lived. And they knew what Israel should do, how to do it. I pray, Father, that you will provide for us and for our children otherwise, children and adults as well, families who walk in your wisdom, who seek and hunger and thirst after your truth and desire to walk in it, not just to hear it, to know it, but walk in it, so that we may increase in wisdom, that we may increase in strength, and as Jesus did, that we may also increase in favor with both you and man. I pray that what you've spoken to us today will go deep into our heart, and as a result, that we will see things that we've never seen before, and that where correction is possible and necessary, that you will do it by your Spirit. In fact, Father, I pray for all of us that you will do for us what we do not know how to do for ourselves, that you will move in us and among us and accomplish your purposes for the glory of your kingdom and in the name of your Son, Jesus. For it is in his name that we pray. And everybody said, Amen.